B3, number 24B.
How did she deal with the psychology of her age? She corrected it by lifting psychology into the realm of ideas, of spiritual ideas, and therefore could see there must be a science of ideas. This is a new paradigm, or was a new paradigm at her time, of absolute greatest magnitude. It's still today, when one is talking even with enlightened thinkers and forward thinkers and says, look here, there must be a science of ideas, they still shake their head in most cases and say, how can you have a science of ideas if you can't measure ideas? You can only have a science about a subject which you can measure, which you can test, which you can prove, and measure the proof according to the testimony of the physical senses. How can you have a science of these unlimited ideas, intangible ideas, ideas that have no materially tangible form and measurement? How can you have that? Archimedes said he saw that this was reasoning within the old paradigm, but not within the new paradigm, where ideas must not be tested according to its opposite, material measures, but according to the spiritual realm. And in that spiritual realm, for spiritual sense, these ideas are spiritually, not materially, tangible. They are spiritually definite and definable. They are just as clear-cut for spiritual sense as material forms are for material sense. So you can see the irreconcilable nature of those two sciences, normal science and extraordinary science, because they build on a completely new basis. So Mrs. Eddy actually built her science on the science of ideas, thereby really picking up the basis from Plato, who had already began to see that reality is of the nature of idea and that the material world is the world of shadow. He may not have seen ideas as we see it today, but still there the seed was planted into the Western world to consider this new science. And if one follows, so to say, the spiritual evolution in the Western world, one can see that concept of idea was always coming up with every period. It never left really the thinkers alone, and from time to time one knows that the philosophers were intrigued by the sense that there are ideas, that the ideas are the realities, and that there should be a science of ideas. We know that Leibniz was one of the representatives of this concept, that he tried to find out those ideas which constitute the root notions of reality, and he could see that if one would find out those root notions of reality, which we call ideas, that then we could also investigate a calculus of ideas. And he was actually trying to find that, but because he had too much work to do, he put it aside and never followed it up. Because this is quite interesting. You see, Mrs. Eddy compares metaphysics quite a lot with mathematics, because mathematics is, so to say, the nearest symbol to idea and to the world of ideas. And actually, Leibniz was the one who discovered the infinitesimal calculus and the integral calculus. So he was interested in calculus, and he would feel that if he would find the root notions of reality, that it could be put into a calculus, which Mrs. Eddy then, 200 years afterwards, did actually do, that she could see that there is a calculus of spirit, a calculus of ideas, and speaks about that calculus of ideas. These ideas, as I have said, always intrigued the thinkers and the philosophers of the world, and it is interesting to see, as time went on, how philosophy and physics merged, converged more and more, that the advanced physicist always had to be a good philosopher, and that a philosopher couldn't get away without getting a good fundamental grasp of atom physics. Just think about Weizsäcker, who first was an extremely honored physicist and then turned into a philosopher. Or you take the other way around, like Heisenberg, also, who was a terrific big atom scientist, and in his later years he was more interested in the philosophy of physics than in anything else, because they began to realize that matter was nearing and nearing more and more the borderline where physics would go over into metaphysics. The moment you have to go over that borderline into metaphysics, that naturally you touch the realm of ideas. And so Heisenberg added quite a lot to the philosophical concept of idea, because he was the first time that was telling us that an idea is a structure and no more just a substantialistic concept, metaphysical concept, an idea, as it would be like a little stone, something, just something. He could see that the idea was a terrific universal concept which had structure within itself and could only be understood as structure. That was the reason why he could see that he felt that if we understood the structure of idea, that would be the answer for matter. He could see that he could, so to say, resolve the concept of matter by following up what he began to see as the structure of idea. So there we have today all kinds of thinkers who are asking for a meta-philosophy. They are asking that we have to have a meta-thought, something that is above human thinking, and begin to see, as one sees that more and more, that they can see that they have to reverse the whole concept of a scientist as being the discoverer of a science. That the actual process is absolutely reversed, that it is that meta-philosophy, that meta-thought, we would call it the divine mind, that really discovers the discoverer, that science really discovers the scientist and makes the scientist. So here we have Mrs. Eddy, who really already 100 years ago began to see that the divine mind is giving us new insight into any subject, that the divine mind discovers, that science reveals, that it isn't so that scientists discover, that scientists reveal something new. But this new concept of a science of ideas and of spiritual ideas were also complemented by her insight of a science of life. See, we have said that Mrs. Eddy says, I discovered Christian Science at the point of life in and of spirit. Life, the science of life. All other sciences really are descriptive. They describe the outer world. Outer world, actually the body is also the outer world. It's out, it's not the subjective thinking. But Mrs. Eddy could see that this distinction between subject and object is actually a human concept, that it does not exist in a reality, that in reality subject and object are one, therefore that the science of idea is the science of life. It's our subjective experience and not something we describe as an outside world. And so she made that terrific discovery, on which we have been talking, especially last year, or even the year before, that she was finding that the structure of being, of life, is the same structure as the structure of spiritual understanding. That there is no discrepancy, no gap between the structure of being and the structure of understanding, that the structure of understanding is only another translated form of the structure of being, so that understanding and being is finally one. Knowing is being. Knowing is no more just knowing something. It's or knowing something about something. Knowing is now being, and to be is to know is to be. So in this way, really, we see that her new contribution to science actually is that she didn't make any more a distinction as other scientists do. Here is a scientist and there is the science he discovers. Now it is one. Understanding is understanding what? Understanding the structure of being, and being is being. There is only one being, therefore we can see why it is that she discovered her science at the point of life in and of spirit. Yes, another point where Mrs. Eddy must be considered as an extraordinary scientist, because Mrs. Eddy was the first one in human history that investigated spiritual categories. A science, whatever that science is, any science, must rest on a understanding of the categories of the subject about which one investigates in a scientific way. Categories constitute the science. And the difficulty was always, in the philosophical development, to find those categories which are broad enough really to cover the whole of being. The philosophers have never been able to attain, to reach this goal. Right back from the time of Aristotle, Aristotle, the philosopher were trying to take the whole universe and tried to find how could we reduce the whole really to a few categories so that these categories would embrace the whole and leave nothing out. But naturally in this way it would be we would find a method and a mean to understand the whole, because when it is reduced to few categories it's understandable by men. And philosophy has never been able to find that. If you look up in a dictionary on philosophy, you will find perhaps the following, what I have here, that they see that every field of science has its own categories. Every field. So whenever we take up a new science, we must find new categories. And you can see how the categories just multiply and multiply instead of becoming less and less. They say only a few of these categories of these various signs have the same function. So these, the categories of the various signs overlap only at some parts, not entirely. They say not all the categories of being are represented in the human understanding. Only a few of the categories of their subject are representing human understanding. Can you see what we said before? Mrs. Eddy found the science where the categories of understanding and the categories of being are the same, so that there is one being. They say it is analyzed how much, in a specific case, the categories of being are identical with the categories of understanding and in how far they differ. Again, you see, they do not overlap. And then they say the structures of the categories of being can only be guessed. So those categories of the signs of being, of ontology, they say they can only be guessed, because there they come into a field which is no more tangible, can no more be analyzed through the material senses, are no more limited concept, that they are now unlimited concept, and therefore they get into a field where they feel they have no more the instruments with which to define. So in philosophy, they say that the structures of the category of being can only be guessed, and Mrs. Eddy didn't guess them. Mrs. Eddy presented them. And to my sense, this is a terrific achievement, which is not really evaluated properly by the Christian scientists, but it wasn't so natural that somebody came along after thousands and thousands of years of thinkers and best thinkers and say, I found the solution for the categories of being, and I present them to you. And if you see those few categories of being, then you see they are few, you can learn them, you can teach them, you can make it your own, you can demonstrate them, and then you have them. Mrs. Eddy did reduce divine metaphysics to a system, and a system implies categories. This is a terrific achievement. This is a much bigger achievement than to heal somebody of his tummy aches and so on, and to ask, shall I go to the dentist if I have a hole in my tooth or not? These are the big questions which we should ask and which we should consider. You see, this terrific discovery after a life, after mankind's millions or thousands of years of research, suddenly finding those categories which are relevant for being. And so she found the answer for that, for this question that has always been in the minds of Aristotle, of Kant, afterwards of Hartmann, Nicolaus Hartmann. He was the first of trying to at least see that there are stages and stages in being. He had a kind of ontological structuralism. And perhaps the one who is living today, Bertalanffy, with his new system, general system theory, he just showed and said, look here, the human system of reference, the human categories are just no good if you want to investigate being. You better drop them. And so they don't work, he said. But science and health shows us those categories and shows us to them in a dimensional way, which is even greater, more impressive discovery and revelation. So here Mrs. Eddy in the textbook shows that she found a new paradigm and put it into a new science, an extraordinary science, as that science which has spiritual categories. Not only spiritual categories, but that she also showed how these categories are intertwined and therefore give the calculus of spirit. What Leibniz had hoped he would achieve in his life, and at the end of his life, Leibniz was very sorry that he spent this time on other things than investigating actually this calculus of the root notions of reality. The time would anyway have been too immature at his time. It's even immature at our time. So Mrs. Eddy presented those three great categories which are the basic of our teaching. The first category, the synonymous term, the second, the fourth side of the city, the third category, the four levels. And these three categories put together into one coherent system and represented by the chart as we have it really give us the answer for that what thinkers since thousands and thousands of years have been looking for and have not found. If we consider Mrs. Eddy's contribution to science, we can see that in finding new categories, she also had to find a new language. In a way, any normal science does that, that when they investigate a new field, that they are forced, so to say, to coin a new terminology and use a new terminology and make up some terms. In the same way, Mrs. Eddy was faced with a completely new categorization of being, but she could see those categories are spiritual categories, they are not human categories nor material categories. But language is human, and therefore the human language can only express really its own realm. The human language is inadequate to define the spiritual realm. So Mrs. Eddy had to find, as well as possible, to coin a new language. She speaks about that new language and sees that the Bible also was seeing that the future revelation would be spoken in a new language and that they will speak in new tongues. What is this new tongue? It is not like in normal science coining new terms, but much more than that. Namely, in the new paradigm, we have to find a completely new language which is not spoken through the human language. It's not just finding in the human language other terms, but to find a new spiritual language which not even needs a human language. To find a new spiritual language, which does not even need a human language, which can be translated to a human language in a approximation of exactness, but never really bring out the absolute sense of the spiritual language. Therefore, she had to give us this new language, the language of spirit. It's a language of tonality, of spiritual tonality. It is not just the language of the terms mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. It's a language of the tonality of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So the terms mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love appearing in a text are not the new language. It's the tonality behind those terms that are the new language. And that tonality can be expressed through the terms of the seven synonymous terms, but can also be expressed through any other symbols, through any other ideas. As long as they are exact in the tonality, they can be expressed in symbols, in stories, like Jesus did, like the prophets did, through symbols of natural symbols, historical symbols, of anything, telling little stories, etc., etc. It's the tonality, the spiritual tonality, that must be caught. In order to cultivate that new language, therefore we must have a code, a key, to decipher this new language. And so Mrs. Eddy added to the textbook the key to the scripture, and there she tries, through symbols of the first record of creation, through the symbols of revelation, of the revelation of St. John, to give us a tonality of the categories of being, of the seven, of the four, and the levels. So there, in those chapters, Genesis and the Apocalypse, she gives the key to this new language, the key to the scripture, because the scripture is even more than the textbook, written in biblical, in natural symbols, not in abstract ideas. The Bible is an image language, is a storytelling language, is a legend-telling language. not an abstract language, but for the spiritual language we need that abstract language which can even be translated higher up to a spiritual language. So in this way we began to see how Mrs. Eddy, through the key of the scripture, began to interpret the Bible completely new. That spiritual language gave to the Bible a new meaning. Suddenly the Bible was no more the Bible of the time of the patriarchs and of the prophets and of Jesus and the apostles. Suddenly that whole book became a book telling everything about us, bringing it right to the present age, where we can see we can be Adam, we can be Eve, but we also can be Noah, we can be Abraham, we also can be all those figures in the Bible, we can be the Jesus, we can be the Christ, we can be a Paul, that these characters are only symbols of a spiritual language which tell the story about man in general, therefore applying to our actual being, and so making the signs of being a signs of life. Yes. All right, we make a break here.